Good afternoon and welcome to Central Coast Voices. I'm Fred Monroe, your host today. Glad you're with us. As you may know, if you've listened for very long, Central Coast Voices is a part of Action for Healthy Communities, and which is part of the Community Foundation of San Luis Obispo County. We're glad you're with us today. I want to remind you also that this is a call-in program. The phone number is 781-3875. That's 805-781-3875. Today we're going to talk about the Odyssey Project, and I'll get into details about what that is in just a moment. I want to remind you that one of our goals at Action for Healthy Communities and part of Central Coast Voices is to bring you credible, valid information and insights from diverse members of our community. Central Coast Voices addresses how today's choices will affect tomorrow's community and how we look at the long-term ramifications of changes in our society and how they affect our lives. Action for Healthy Communities puts out a community report covering San Luis Obispo County every 3 years. The last report came out in December of 2013. It is called Vital Signs. It's available for review or download if you would like to see the whole report or parts of it at actionslo.org. That's actionslo.org. There is no charge for that report, and it is very helpful information to look at the standing of our community, looking at things from economic situations, housing, environmental issues, homelessness, and things like that. It's very good information that we'd like to share with you, and that's part of the project that basically sponsors this program, and I'm glad you're with us today. Today we're going to talk about the Odyssey Project and how Homer's Odyssey is helping incarcerated youth in Santa Barbara County. Can everyone learn to become a hero or heroine in their own story? And that's really what we're going to talk about today. As we discuss the Odyssey Project, we hope to gain answers about the actual questions that face young people who are incarcerated in the community. The Odyssey Project is a collaboration program with a highly unusual group of collaborators as far as we look at it. It is basically a project between the community of Santa Barbara, the probation department in Santa Barbara, those organizations that incarcerate youth in some circumstances, and UC Santa Barbara. Joining us today are Michael Morgan. He's professor in the Department of Theater and Dance at UC Santa Barbara, and he is the director of the Odyssey Project. And Raven Skye, she is a community coordinator and is involved in this project quite a bit. And we also have two youth with us today. We will start with a conversation joining us at the table, which is Pedro. And he is an alumni of the program, and we would like to share this with you as you get a better understanding of what the community can do to serve the needs of both the community as a whole and youth that somewhere along the way have taken a path that's gotten them in longer discussions with law enforcement and probation and the courts than they'd like to be in, and ways to basically end that cycle. Again, 781-3875 is the phone number you can call in, and you're welcome to be part of the program today and part of the discussion. And I thank you for joining us to be part of it at this point. Michael, let's start out with you. This is a program that you were instrumental in starting in about 2011. How did it come about, and what was the original motivation?
Well, it came about because I'm interested in bringing diverse groups together. I really think that learning outcomes amplify when you have diversity. And I wanted to bring two different groups together. I wanted to expose relatively privileged youth that go to UC Santa Barbara and the incarcerated teens from Los Perritos Boys Camp who, it turns out, have a lot to offer, to bring them together, and so to have them collaborate in such a way where they could learn from each other. The underlying principle behind the Odyssey Project is to find your own voice and to look at your own path, not necessarily in a criminalized way, but in a more heroic way. And I believe that the youth, all youth actually, have this heroic seed within them. I think what's particular about this project is that the youth from the camp who are in detention come down to the university. So the idea is that they're actually participating with undergraduates on a university campus, giving them the idea that they're welcome, that they could belong there, that they could, in fact, continue an education there. I wanted them to know that they had a shot at that. And so It really was a response to the fact that so many people have in our society, I believe, have given up on a huge segment of our youth when there's so much wonderful potential that we're losing there.
When you first thought about this program, who at the law enforcement and incarceration side of it did you approach, and what was your first elevator speech, I guess, to get their attention?
Well, I went to the supervisor at Los Prietos Boys Camp, and Laurie Holbrook, who was fortunately very open to the idea. Basically, I spoke about the possibility of doing a play, which is what it is. I mean, we take Homer's Odyssey, and we actually have the youth revision it. They occupy it. They learn it. They analyze it. But then they sort of they occupy it. I like this idea of occupying it, because you take this beautiful text and they bring their own contemporary sensibilities to it, and they sort of reconstruct it. And as a result, they take the heroic theme as their own theme, and they start to look at their lives that way. So I approached her with this idea of doing a theater piece that would be based on the Odyssey, but with these youth telling their stories as heroes. And she thought it was a good idea, so that's how it sort of started.
So that was what you might have thought was going to be the hardest sell. My hunch is that probably was not the hardest sell. The hardest sell was probably some of the youth that were already incarcerated being convinced that some theater project was actually worth their time.
Yes. Well, of course, it's voluntary. So
the incarceration is not voluntary, but the participation in the program is
voluntary. Yes,
okay,
that part is voluntary.
Okay.
And even so, I think some of the guys got into it thinking, well, I'll just get some time off of the camp and, you know, hang out in the university. But, you know, of course, I described it. You have to learn a lot of lines. There's a lot of commitment here. But it doesn't quite sink in until they get into the process and then they realize, oh, okay, this is a lot of work. I've lost a couple that way once they realize it. But for the most part, people stick it out. And it's sort of really extraordinary what they find within that process of just stamina, of just hanging in there with themselves creatively. And they're not necessarily actors, but they are actors. They actually do have a voice. They are performers. They find that they have talents, and I don't know if they're going to pursue it professionally, but they do have a voice, and I'm a voice teacher by training. So for me, this kind of work really is kind of the capstone of my career, the idea that not only am I working in a conservatory, which I love, but I can also enable people to find their voices who are sometimes marginalized in our society, and hopefully that voice will make a difference.
Okay. Pedro, you're on the spot. You're an alumni of this program, I guess. So how did you get involved, and what did you think when it was first presented to you?
Well, when it was first presented, I was just, like, surprised, you know, because they're like, they told us that we can talk about our life, you know. And, you know, I was just kind of like wondering, you know, like, how would it feel to be part of the program? So I joined it, you know, and I never thought I was going to be part of it. You know, I was like, oh, there's a lot of kids that are like, try to join it, you know. And then I got surprised when they called, like, my name. They're like, oh, yeah, you're going to be part of it, you know. And then I started going out of camp. I was locked up, you know, so, like, it felt, like, kind of better, you know, because I started meeting up, like, new friends right there. And it felt better because, like, they asked us, like, questions, you know, like, how did we feel, like, deep inside, you know, like, if we were, like, struggling with things, you know, to just let it out, you know, but, like, in a fun way, you know, like, in a, mm-hmm. So it was, like, kind of fun. I don't know.
My hunch is that the peer pressure back in the camp was like, what are you doing, dude? I mean, it's like, you want to, you know, you got to be here with us, and you got to you got to man up and be cool, and you can't participate in this, and so what's up? And my, did you get some of that?
Well, Not that I know of. Like,
oh, well, that's good to hear.
Yeah, like, most of the time I was, like, I felt lucky, you know, because, like, not everybody got the chance to do that, you know? Mm-hmm. But I felt lucky, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm going out of camp. I feel, like, kind of, like, I don't know, like, I'm free kind of in a way, you know, but because I was, like, talking to, like, friends that are not locked up, you know. Mm-hmm. I was, like, going out of camp and then felt better.
Okay. So how long ago did you start with the program?
Like a year or something. I don't remember. Okay.
Now, are you still in – I'm assuming – that you're either on probation or you're not in any kind of incarceration environment anymore, but can you still continue with the program, or it's like you've graduated out of both environments?
Well, I'm still on probation, but yeah, I'm still like with the program, to like the Odyssey program, still working with them. Yeah, like, cuz they always try to help me out, like when I got out, like they try helping me out. They're like, just because you got out doesn't mean like we're not going to help you out, you know. So Michael gave me his number, you know, I got everybody's number, and then, you know, when I got out, like, right away, you know, I got my phone, I started, like, you know, hitting them up. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm right here.
Okay.
Like, doing this.
Ernie, Raven, your coordinating role, as you explained it to me before the program, was kind of working on people as they transition back out of the program or into the general community. Explain what your role is and maybe how people like Pedro fit into your activities.
Sure. Well, actually, this is the fifth year that we're starting up pretty soon. And I just joined the project this March. Now, Mike and I have been friends for 20 years. So I've been part of the support system from way back when. And what we did, we noticed, is when we talked about what was happening with the project, was that there's no aftercare program. And so this is the first year we're trying to get funding to support that. But what I did is, as soon as I came in March, I met with Pedro and Donnell and all the other members that we could get hold of to find out where were they in the program, what was happening, what were their goals, what were they doing. And so one of the biggest things that happens is there's no real support for reentry into the community. And this is where Michael and I think that the Odyssey takes it to the next level, because there are no community funds for such a reentry program. And so we're creating a lot of it right now on our free time, checking up on them when they have interviews, how are they doing. Sometimes it's a simple text, like, hey, what's going on with you this week, you know? Mm-hmm. So we try to get that, but there's definitely we think is that this is the next big thing we have to do with the project, is help the students, once they graduate from camp, reenter into the community with some very definite skills. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How do you, this is either for Raven or Michael, how do you integrate students at the university into the program that you're doing? I guess it's the motivation for someone who's incarcerated to be able to do something other than sitting in the camp is probably very strong. For some college students, the ability to find the time and the inclination to work on a community project like this may not be there.
It's not for every student, and there is a vetting process. I'm very sort of careful with making sure that I get somebody who is a good fit for the class. Essentially, the students who are involved in the Odyssey Project are humanitarians. I mean, they care about their lives. They care about other people's lives. They also very often are artists, and they understand that by finding stories not only in their own lives but through other people, that it supports their path in their arts. So it's not usually hard to find the right students. Not, like I said, it's not for everybody, but those students who actually are in the project are completely committed, passionate, devoted, and work with a tremendous amount of energy, and they give a lot to the guys from Los Prietos. It's a mutual kind of thing, and there's a little bit of sort of ice-breaking moment, but then they bond really, really strongly, and the creative process does that. I mean, they have to work together. They have to solve these artistic problems together.
Yeah. We've spoken on the program a number of times before about other programs going on primarily in San Luis Obispo County. We've spoken with the county sheriff, spoken with people involved in outreach programs, spoke with some people talking about programs like the Homeboy Industries and how it bridges the gap with that. One of the things that is probably a recurring theme is that there are a lot of people in our community who think anything other than incarcerated punishment is too easy on people who should be punished for whatever their misdeeds were. So I'm wondering how you bridge that kind of question in the community. There are people who think, hey, you're given a bunch of young people who should just be put away for a few years, a chance to better understand themselves and better build a story of understanding about their life. Why are we bothering with that?
Well, I think using the Odyssey is the perfect story because it's a heroic epic. But it's an epic about a man, Odysseus, who makes a mistake. And it starts from that mistake. Basically, what the cast do in this project is they look at the left turn, they look at the detour in their lives, they look at the one thing they did that got them into trouble. Everybody does something like that. It's just some people get penalized more for it. But it actually humanizes them. They start to understand, well, you know, I did this. I violated. I made this choice. The wonderful thing about theater is that they have a choice to shift that through a dramatic retelling or through purging to look at their tragic flaw in Aristotelian terms and then to actually revision themselves. And so what I think is a bridge for the public is they see these young men take their lives, look at those left turns, create a narrative around it, create a path of empowerment from it so that their Ithaca, their homecoming, is really about coming to a place of maturity and a place of responsibility in their own lives. And the public see them do this, and they come up right into the public. They're not performing in jail. They're performing in a public venue downtown in Santa Barbara. And they're saying to the public, okay, we've done our part. We're here. We're present. We have made a mistake. We admit it. But we're human, and now we want to change. And we have the capability of changing. And so I think they put it now on the audience. It's like, okay, it's now your turn. You're the adults. So what can you do to complement us to carry the ball forward?
So even though it's a theater presentation, it really is a discussion. It's a discussion with Homer's dilemma. Okay? It's a discussion internally, and it's a discussion with the public.
Absolutely, okay. It's absolutely yes. It's going back to Greek theater. I mean, it's a public forum for these huge issues. So yes, that definitely it is a discussion.
Okay, let me remind folks: we are having a conversation about an incredible project called the Odyssey Project out of UC Santa Barbara, and got some wonderful guests with us today. But it is a discussion that we'd like you to participate in if you'd like to. The phone number is 781-3875. That's 805-781-3875. This is a discussion we'd like you to participate in. If you're just enjoying listening, that's okay too. But we want to be able to share an understanding of the topic, and we may not be addressing the parts of this question that come up for you. So please join the conversation. This is, of course, Community Radio and Public Radio, KCBX, and we're glad that you're with us today. Okay, Pedro, you're back on the table again here. So, what was the first thing that was expected of you when you got involved in this project? I mean, somebody delivered you to campus, or you showed up at campus, or they worked with you. What was the start, and what were your first thoughts on this?
Well, at first, like I was kind of confused, you know, because like I saw kids like that were older than me, you know. So I was just like, damn, you know, it's going to be kind of hard, you know, but they started, like, being friends with us, and they started helping us out. And then, like, they just, like, wanted us to, like, just express our feelings, you know, through, like writing it down, you know, like, in a fun way, you know. And then we would have to act it out. So it was kind of fun, you know, honestly, because I never, like, had the chance to, like, talk to somebody about my feelings, you know. So, like, when I was, like, in there, you know, when I joined the Odyssey program, I felt better because, like, I was able, like, to express my feelings by having fun, you know, and I wasn't, like, going to let my anger out by, like, getting into a fight or, like, you know, arguing with someone. So actually was like a better like feeling. Yeah.
Were you asked to or instructed to read Homer's Odyssey on the front end? So you needed to understand the story before you jumped into it, or how did you first get involved in actually making it your own story?
Well, yeah, first we had to understand like the story, you know, what it was about, you know, and then after that, you know, like we had to like write our own story, you know, and then pretty much like explain it like, you know, pretty similar to like the same story that we were reading, you know, like express it like in a way like that is the same as.
So talk about the similarities between the dilemma that Homer talks about and in your own dilemma.
Yeah, pretty much.
Raven, how many people have been through the program so far?
The program usually takes about 5 students. Mm-hmm. And what's really is interesting is Ms. Holbrook from Los Prietos Boys Camp. Mm-hmm. I had a meeting with her not too long ago. She's already casting for our summer season. And what happens is really neat, is the students actually have to earn their spots. Not only do they have to audition, but you have to be doing really well within the camp before you can even be considered as a potential auditioner for the program. So Michael has been handling, I think, for the most part, it's been 5 students per summer that come into the program.
It starts out sometimes a little higher than that, but there is attrition.
Yeah, there's attrition in everything. So mm-hmm.
Life is like that.
Yeah, there's attrition, and that's good. There's attrition in life. Was anybody doing this program? Did you invent this program? You obviously did not write Homer's story. I realize that. But the use of this as a project with youth, was it being done in other communities?
Well, it was certainly part of the human growth movement back in the 70s, where Gene Houston did a lot of this kind of work. But I think what's unique about it at this point, as far as I know, is it's being applied to populations which are marginalized. And it's also being applied to populations which are not marginalized. I think the ideal beauty of this, when it works, is that you have these two different groups that collaborate. They come together. And so it's not just working with one section of our population or another, but it's saying, hey, wait a minute, let's come together. It's an alliance. And that by sharing the stories together, by basically supporting the individual story, but by coming together communally to tell a large story as a group, as an ensemble, I think that is certainly, I'm not going to say it's the only time it's happened, but it's certainly one of the unique qualities of this.
What have your we always have to look at this, because with any kind of program like this, there are people who are cynical, or just that may not be fair to everyone. There are people who question the validity of programs like this, because one of the things I'm sure that comes up is that, hey, you know, young punks, if they're bad kids and they got bad on their own, and it's not society's job to fix them or to rescue them, it's just society's job to keep them out of my way. And I suspect that's probably a theme you hear about on occasion. Do you hear it often, and how is it addressed?
Well, I don't hear it often, but I know it exists.
Because I guess sometimes the fact that you don't hear it, so whatever is said behind your back is more difficult to address than what's said to your
face, right.
Of course. Yeah.
That's right. And I mean, I grew up in America, so I understand people have different polarized agendas here. I think one of the ideally potentially beautiful things about this program, and hopefully other programs like it, is that it has the potential of bringing different sides together. For whatever reason, I think there is a healing potential here, because you're actually, whether it's, I mean, in fact, let me just, I know this is a fact, because there's been an initiative between Democrats and Republicans to reduce incarceration. Now, maybe they're coming from different ends of the spectrum as to the justification. It may be because of fiscal responsibility, or it may be because of humanitarian reasons. But they understand that there is an issue that they need to collaborate on in order to get results. And I think this project is about that. So it is inherently about teaching the youth that participate in it a sense of responsibility so that they are responsible for their own paths. That's what this is about. It's not some of them have been victimized. I don't think we want to deny that there is victimization. Some people may want to go there, but they certainly experience their lives as victims very often. But we don't want to stay there, however, because it's theater. Again, theater gives you the opportunity to act, so you can shift that victimhood into empowerment, and that's what this project ideally is about, to turn it around. So to take responsibility for your own life. But it's also, as I said before, they come to the public and they say you have to take responsibility too, that there are issues. There are structural things within our society that keep certain people in certain places. There is a lack of mobility because of that, a lack of fluidity. And so what I believe the project ideally wants to do is to heal that and to have both sides, the adults and the youth, the two divisions, this right, the left, however you want to look at it, to come together. Otherwise, it's just about, well, I'm right and you're wrong, and there's no way of actually resolving that.
Yeah, well, you probably have another dilemma in Santa Barbara that not all communities have, and that is that the economic extremes in Santa Barbara are very pronounced. I've heard it said, you know, there are people who think they're middle class in Santa Barbara, but they're mistaken. There is no middle class in Santa Barbara. So that probably comes into play also, I think.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation because, you know, Santa Barbara does have this aura of wealth and prestige. And I think it is this place, but it also has this underbelly. And I think it's not often seen. It's often hidden. And I think it's important that we're doing this project here. We're not doing it in inner city. We're not doing it in the inner city of Chicago or L.A. Harlem, New York, where I grew up. We're doing it in a very beautiful, privileged, for the most part, I think, liberal and supportive, by the way, place. So I think we need to, the problem can be here as well, is what I guess I'm saying, even though I believe the solution can be here as well. And I think the solution, hopefully, will travel to other parts of the country.
An incredible answer. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Because as you were saying that, what I thought about was a project that I'm familiar with personally also is the Freedom Writers Project that went on at a high school in Long Beach. May not have worked in Santa Barbara because the economic environment outside of the school would have been a lot different than it was in a place like Long Beach in Santa Barbara. So that becomes a factor also. Remind folks that this is a call-in program. You're welcome to join us. It's 781-3875. You don't have to call in, so please don't stop listening because we're waiting for your question and you don't have one. But I want to give you the opportunity to remember that. And we're dealing today with an interesting topic, and that is on the Odyssey Project, which is a collaboration between UC Santa Barbara and the incarceration of youth in Santa Barbara. Looking at Homer's Odyssey as a story that is not only a story that Homer wrote, but a story that individuals can contribute their own story to. And we have Michael Morgan, a professor at UC Santa Barbara Theater and Dance Department, and Raven Skye, who is a community coordinator of this program. And we're currently talking to Pedro, who's an alumni of the program, and we have Donnell here, who's going to take Pedro's seat in a couple of minutes, and we'll go from there. But while we make that shift, I want to get to one question for you that we haven't discussed yet, and that is there's actually two parts to this project that you've been working on. One is the actual work you're doing with the youth, and that's been going on for about 5 or 6 years. But there's also a documentary you're putting together, and that is a project, I guess, to make this more widely known and to tell the story of not just the youth involved, but how programs like this can come about. So how did you transition from just doing the program to deciding that there needed to be a film about it also?
I think because of my background, I mean, the thing about theater, I'm mostly been fortunate to do a lot of theater, and I love theater, but it's ephemeral for the most part. You know, theater comes and then it goes. You have to be there. Whereas a documentary, a piece of film, is something that can actually sustain. It has some legs. And I wanted to make sure that these young men's stories had a wider audience, basically, because I think their stories are representative of lots of youth in our country. And I think essentially they are heroic, and I wanted their voices to be heard so that they could inspire other young people who are struggling with similar issues. The documentary is a documentary, so we have to be objective, and we will be objective, and we'll listen to both sides of the aisle. We'll listen to the prison corporation. We'll listen to privatized prison lobby. We'll listen to those people who just want to burn down prisons completely. But we basically want to hear the story because it's the Odyssey. You know, remember, we're basically taking the theater piece and we're extending it through to the film by saying, all right, young guys, here we go. Here's some cameras. Go ahead and you continue to narrate your story. You continue to tell your story. So we're giving them cameras so they can continue their Odyssey. They tell their reentry stories. And through their lens, the public understands issues of poverty, racism, how difficult it is with a gang, how difficult it is coming out of a drug situation. It's through their lenses that these stories will be revealed. And, of course, we'll have experts to look at their subjective experiences with probably more objectivity and more journalistic approach to it. So the project, I think the film project is about it's sort of multifaceted, but one of the things that it imparts ideally is the potential of a solution, not just let's look at the problems, but here's a solution. What if the county probation people, a university, and a community stand together to actually uplift and elevate youth? Maybe that can work. And I believe it can work, and I think it is working to some extent here. So we wanted to make sure that we spread that around, and that's the film.
Do you have any statistical feedback from the probation department or from the sheriff's department about they may see this as a program that works, it serves some need, but they may not be able to quantify its results? And we deal – in a lot of cases, we deal with government agencies that are saying, if this is costing us some money, we want to see some results out of it. Unfortunately, we may not do that enough in the prison system to see actual results, but a lot of it is we want to see people off the street, so we're happy to see that. But what kind of feedback from the sheriff's department and the probation department have you had about the recidivism of the youth that you have involved in the program, their behavior and their overall conduct while they're still at the camp? What kind of feedback has that had?
There isn't a lot of cold facts and evidence about that at this point. Mm-hmm. I'm actually this year going to run a metrics study on the program. So remember, we've only been in existence 4 years, so this is the fifth, and we are going to do a metrics study. But I can say that this was on the news recently, is that it's now proven, it's found that youth who stay close to their community and find community solutions do much better than those who are shipped off into incarcerating environments and prisons.
Yeah, that's a recurring theme I've heard about. When the county sheriff for San Luis Obispo County was on, he talked about, even though the expense and the strain on our physical plant was so difficult, what they have seen is a more cooperative, integrated, lower recidivism rate because people are not far from home and not far from family when they're incarcerated locally. So that's good to hear that's also something that you're mm-hmm. hearing from that program too. Donnell, okay, yes. Another alumni of the program. So we only had so many chairs here today, so I apologize for making you guys shift a little bit. How did you get involved in this program, and what it was your introduction to the experience?
The way that I got involved is, I remember one day when I was getting ready to go to school, me and about 10 other youth were all called out by our names to wait out by the instructor that we had, that we were going to be given an opportunity to do something. So I waited out there, and what she had told us was that she explained to us about the Odyssey Project, explaining that we would be filmed, and that we were going to be put through a lot of work and all the privileges we were going to get for it.
And at first, the only thing I heard was that we would be getting to go out of camp. And so
Which was in and of itself a good incentive, I guess.
Yes. Okay. That's all that I heard. And so when I heard that, that was in my head, okay, now all I have to do is do good now, and I'll be able to go out of camp, and time will fly in here. And I thought, like, I wouldn't even have to really do much until we started doing the exercises and all the activities that we started doing in the Odyssey Project when we went there. When I started doing all that, then that's what made me, and then it started to hit, oh, this is really going to be happening to me. And through this time I was going through with getting out, I was going through this kind of this opportunity I had of getting out early, and I more or less kind of turned it down because after a while of being in the Odyssey Project, it turned from me just wanting to leave out of camp to it turned into me wanting to be a part of it.
That becomes a tough answer. So you were willing to stay in, for lack of a better, stay incarcerated for longer so you wouldn't have to leave this program.
Yes. It was kind of my, it wasn't fully like my choice, but it became like I more or less stopped trying to not do good, but bugging keep asking about calling the judge to get another court date, because after it was like halfway being through the program, and everybody, we had already lost a couple people, so I felt like after being in it for that long, I was kind of obligated to finish it out.
That's a very telling commentary about a program like this, and we'll get back to that in a minute. We have a caller. I don't want to leave them waiting too long. Hold on a second. Bonnie, are you there?
Hello.
Hi. Go ahead. You're on the air.
So I was the costume designer for the Odyssey Project last year, and I'm just really proud of all the participants, and I'm glad to hear that you guys are doing so well. And it was really fulfilling for me as an artist and to see you guys come out on the stage after all this work and really express yourselves to the community. And it was absolutely beautiful. So I'm very proud.
Okay. Bonnie, can I ask, so you were a UC student at the time?
No, I grew up in Santa Barbara, went to Dos Pueblos and did UCSB camps. So I didn't go to UCSB, but Michael found me through Christina McCarthy, and this sounded like a very interesting project to work on, because youth in Santa Barbara I've always been concerned about, because there hasn't been a lot of outlets here, and to know that I would be helping these people making a transition in their lives was something of importance on a much bigger scale.
Thanks for sharing that. That's a very good perspective to share. Thank you very much, and thank you for having participated.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Okay. All right, thank you so much.
Take care. So it's not just university students that are doing this. It's other members of the community. That, having worked in a lot of community projects myself over the years, sometimes that can get in the way. Sometimes the community outreach that goes on from people who want to make a difference can get in the way of the people who are your goal students, if you will, the youth like Pedro and Donnell. Has that been a tough balance in Santa Barbara?
No, it's been terrific. Actually, the students, and I call them all students, but the students from the university and the students from the camp are basically on a level, democratic level playing field. So they're collaborating one-on-one. It's not like the students are mentoring, UC students are mentoring the teens from the camp. So they're equals. However, they are mentored by a group of teacher artists. Some of them come from the community. Some of them come from the university. And there are like 12 basically teaching artists. mm-hmm. who mentor this group of students. And the purpose of this is so that they have, the cast has, a very sort of a kind of grooming, a kind of hands-on, a really private school education. I want them to feel special. I want them to know that they're worth it. So they have, you know, like Bonnie just called in, a professional costumer. They have a mask maker. They have a mime artist. They have a hip-hop dance choreographer. They have a fight instructor. And all of these people interact with them. And even though I use the word mentor, I want to be careful because this is still their project. So the cast, the teens, and the UC students basically make the decisions. It's their drawings that we project onto the background of the stage. It's their writings, which become the script, even though we do interweave some of Homer in there. They create the masks. They create the costumes. Basically, Bonnie is inspired by them, and she'll put it together. And she also has, obviously, her own ideas, but she's inspired by them. So it really is it's on purpose that I want this group of students to feel this care, this care of adults around them who are uplifting them.
Yeah. Are there youth that have been alumni of the program who are now helping as any kind of mentors in the program? Is that a possibility? Mm-hmm. Are there some that are doing that now and have been?
Yes. In fact, this year we're going to have Danny Hernandez, who has participated in the project as a UC student for 3 years, I think. She's actually going to be working with Christina to help with the masks. Mm. And there are other students like Ian, who's going to be my stage manager, who was also in the project. Now he's the stage manager. So, we're creating an Odyssey team.
Good. Sounds good. Let me go ahead. Actually, let's see. Not quite sure what happened here. Let's see. Okay. Joe, are you there?
I'm doing great. How are
okay,
you?
Okay, fine. You're on the air. What's up?
Okay. I found it rather intriguing to hear a young man say that he was willing to stay longer in the program to learn more about the program. And it just came to my attention about how young men are scared to touch the water.
Sorry, say it. You know, scared to what? I'm sorry, say again.
You know, they're sort of afraid to test the water.
Oh, to test the water. Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But if they do test the water, they find greater rewards there. And I find that rather amusing. But it's afraid to test the water.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But when they do, you know, they find a goldfish there. Okay.
Good analogy, yes. Very good analogy.
Yeah. And we as parents, we find out things about our kids that we're not aware of if we just spend a little time trying to talk to them mm-hmm. and not talk at them.
Yeah. Well, I think a good portion of this program from what Michael and the youth have talked about and Raven is opening communications both outside and inside oneself as part of this. So that's worked, I think, very well for them.
Yeah.
Okay.
But being a parent myself, I've seen the changes within my child that if the parents can just open up another channel and spend a little bit of time with the kid, they may get a more positive reaction from that child because a lot of kids are just afraid to say to their parents, as coming to visit with my son, had he told me I want to stay longer so I could learn more about this, I probably would have said, you need to come home. You need to come home.
Yeah.
But knowing and participating with this program as much as I have, I know how rewarding it is when I see the spark in his eyes. It's totally different as that spark when you're sitting in the courtroom wondering how much time you're going to get.
Far more positive experience.
Yes.
Okay.
So you see, from what I've been in touch with this program, I really do wish the parents would really just take a little bit of time, you know, and find out what it's really about, because, you know, it's not about the finances, it's not about health, it's just about helping your child have another channel to a positive role. And from what I've seen, the changes in my son, this is a great program. So I pray that the parents would just spend a little bit of time and get into this, because instead of locking our kids up, we can give them another alternative. And I applaud these young men, because little do they know, they are the role models for this. Yeah. They're the leaders for this.
Yeah.
They're on top of their game.
Yeah.
Just don't fall off.
Yeah. Joe, thanks for your comments. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Okay. Michael, he brings up an interesting point, and that is that, and Raven, you may have an observation about this. How do you bring the parents of the youth that you're working with into the process? And is there an effective way to do that, and has it become a positive part of the program for you?
Well, as I stated before, this is the first year we're actually going to implement an aftercare program. This is why it's so critical, because once the students graduate from camp, they're re-entering back into the community with no support whatsoever, very little. So this is why I'm so excited about these, because these young men are my heroes. I'm excited because I work with them now, and with Pedro, and a couple of the other ones. And though even though we haven't had a formalized plan, we have actually have made serious attempts. And it's because of them that we found out, and I created the aftercare program. Because they went out there after the Odyssey. They came home. And Danielle's got great grades, 3.0 average.
Good.
You know, yes. Pedro's got great grades. They're both looking forward to jobs. They're both actively seeking jobs. And that's what we want to create. The portion of the parents is what we're working on next. Now, according to my information from probation, and Michael and I discussed it, we want to create a forum for the parents to come in for at least 1 hour a week. The reason that's important, we're talking for a portion of the socially, economically disadvantaged families. So a lot of the times, they don't have a clear understanding of what probation is. They might be really understanding of what the incarceration system is like. So what I wanted to be able to do is to bring them in, hopefully with a therapist, family and marriage therapist, mm-hmm. because the issue is, what does that mean once they come home? What does the probation system mean? What all the requirements that these young men are mandated to attend, whether it's meeting, classes, school, whatever, parents need to understand that. So I think that if we bring the parents, show them support, show them how there's really a backup system for them, for their sons and daughters, that we can really change this throwaway mentality that we have regarding incarcerated population as a whole. So for me, my inspiration and how we can get from where we are to potentially have the Odyssey become a national program that other communities can implement in their own communities, to have an engagement with probation, with parents, with teachers. It's about giving the support, saying this is where we need to go, give them some tools, give them some techniques, so their reentry into the community is about the best that we can make.
Yeah. We're getting to the end of our hour, and I want to make sure mm-hmm. we get everybody's voice in here a little bit. Donnell, I guess I'm sorry we didn't give you a whole lot of time. We had a lot of people who wanted to talk. If you were talking to somebody who was in the camp now, and was saying, I don't know, I don't want to bother with this. This is just the man kind of to scam me or whatever. How do you convey to that person that, you know, give this a try? It's got a good outcome.
Well, what I would tell them would be that First off, that I'd explain to them how it was for me, how I just explained that it'll seem like it's kind of an escape from camp, and but also I'd have to explain to them that there's a lot of responsibilities that comes with it, which is like, for me it was taking it serious because I'm more of the person that likes to play around a lot. So taking things serious doesn't really come easy for me. So when I'd explain to them that they'd have to take it serious, and I'd also have to explain to them about that it might seem like it's going to be easy and go through and just be a functional thing, but there could be a lot of setbacks that comes with it. Like, for me, it was about a month away from doing the play, maybe a little bit longer than a month, when we lost one of my friends, and he had a part, and the part that he had was actually a pretty big part. So for me, since I had already memorized all my lines, I didn't volunteer, but I was asked to take over his part, and I took over his part, and it was challenging to get all his lines down before all the play practicing and going up there without my script and saying my lines, all that, and that was one of the biggest challenges for me. So I'd have to explain to them that it's a lot of fun, but there's time. Once you get into the program, it turns from fun. Well, it stays fun, but you have to start to take it serious and work hard towards doing what you have to do. And it really teaches you a lesson that you can take out into life, because it is one of those things that does happen to people out in life. When you're trying to do something and something sets back, you have to take that extra step and do what another person didn't do, just to get the whole program working perfectly fine again.
Great. Thank you. Very, very well put. Michael, we're running a little out of time here. I want to make sure a couple of things get out for everyone to hear about, and that is that you're starting a Kickstart project for this documentary. People can go to the KCBX website and find this program, which will be archived and available, and there's a link already on there, I verified, to the Odyssey Project website, so they can get more information about your Kickstart program.
Great.
There's also, I guess, you're doing a live performance in September, on September 13th.
Mm-hmm.
Can you? Some people obviously will come back because they've heard it. They've heard the performance before with other youth. What does that entail, and is it a public performance?
Oh, definitely, it's a public performance. That's the idea. So it's a new cohort of guys who are going to be coming down from the camp, mixing with UC students. We go through a 6-week process, and it culminates on September 13th, 2 p.m. at Center Stage.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Center Stage on campus, or is that
Center Stage downtown Santa Barbara, Paseo Nuevo is where it is.
Oh, okay, and is there will there be a link to that information on your website also?
Yes, so yes, there will be.
More about it.
Yes.
Okay. That's a Sunday afternoon in September. That should be, I believe it's a Sunday afternoon.
Yes, it is.
It is a
yes.
Sunday afternoon. Yes. That'll be great. I want to make sure we don't forget this, and that is that you're working on basically a manual, or you've already created a manual to basically carry this program to other communities, other universities, other youth programs. Is that a finished product already, or is it still in the works?
No, it's in the works, and it's part of the Kickstarter. And the Kickstarter doesn't really launch to July 8th next week. So if you want more information about us, I'd invite people to come to our Facebook page, which is www.facebook.com/Odyssey Project Film. And like us
Okay. Can they find the Facebook link on your website link also?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because I found it was very easy to find your website, yes. And we do have a link for that available on KCBX's website, which is kcbx.org. This has been a fascinating program to talk about, and I thank you all for coming today to share this. Raven, you've been involved in this project as a part of something you've been interested in for a long time, but you've been on staff now for about 4 months, I guess. What are your thoughts about what this is doing for you personally and for how you see your community?
You know what? I've been involved in the Santa Barbara community for many years through very different venues and social services. I've got to tell you, I am so passionate about this project. First of all, because Michael took a huge risk. Second of all, because Lori Holbrook took a huge risk, even bigger risk on us. And because the students there, they're phenomenal people. These are, most people don't think that anyone that's being incarcerated is part of our future. And I think they are, because they have gone places most people don't get a chance to, by the grace of God. You know, they're spared that. I am excited because I think we're creating an opportunity to give an underserved community a lot of support, a lot of hope, a lot of new ways of looking at their lives, looking at their challenges. So I think in that aspect, we are taking a very simple play to the next level with the participation of the students, both at the university and from the camp. And because we're both creating, Michael and I are creating a program that's sustainable. I know for a fact that probation has said they're looking for something like this. They just didn't know how to go about it, and they don't have it. Mm-hmm. So I know we're in the cusp of bringing something new to our communities that will benefit families all around, regardless of color, regardless of race, regardless of social status.
Maybe we'll see an ability to do this in San Luis Obispo County with a program through county probation here in Cal Poly.
I hope so. Yeah. I really hope so. Yeah. Like I said, all it takes is a little passion, and we got plenty of that, I think.
Yeah, great. Thank you very much. By the way, I hope you can tell me in a few years that what we'll be talking to is not only the ongoing program, but maybe a UC Santa Barbara graduate who was a part of this program on the camp side of the process, and sooner or later, maybe we'll see.
We are hoping. We are definitely hoping. Like I said, we're dreaming big. And we have, I know with the students that we've had, we definitely have the potential to do that. Thank you.
Thanks very much, and I thank you for being with us today. I want to remind you, this is Central Coast Voices, and we're a production of Action for Healthy Communities, which is a project of the Community Foundation of San Luis Obispo County. Next week, Chris Kington Barker will be here with you, and she'll be taking a look at California and the nation as it heads to a comprehensive immigration reform program. Over 90% of Californian voters support citizenship for undocumented aliens and immigrants, pardon me. And this is something that she's going to look at next week with a panel of guests. It should be an exciting topic. Central Coast Voices is, as I said, sponsored by Action for Healthy Communities in collaboration with KCBX. This program is made possible by underwriting from Joan Gillard Sargent. And this input for this program, you can share with us at voices@kcbx.org or 543-2323. That's 805-543-2323. Thank you to KCBX and Public Radio here. Thank you to Michael Morgan, Raven Sky, and Pedro and Donnell for being with us today. I thank you very much for joining us. This has been Central Coast Voices.